I'd like to call this council meeting for November the 22nd to order. There are under changes and approvals of agenda. There are two items presently to add. Under 16.2, we have Port Medway Park. Under 17.5, in camera, we have contract negotiations, MGA 22 bracket 2E. Are there any other additions to come forward today? A motion to approve the agenda. Councilor Frelick, seconded. Councilor Muse, any discussion? All those in favor? Unanimous? We have some presentations this morning. It is Municipal Awareness Week, and we're pleased to have from South Queens Middle School today, Vice Principal Stacy Thorburn has come, and she has brought with her four students, Liam Strum, Emma Wynott, Rhea Stewart, Dominic Lozier. And I would ask if the presenters would like to come to the table and present to council.
My name is Rhea Stewart, and I am in grade 8.
Hello, I'm Liam Strum, and I'm grade 7.
I'm Dominic Lozier, and I'm in grade 8.
My name's Emma Wynott, and I'm in grade 7.
We are from South Queens Middle School, and we have been meeting with Richard and the region about youth and what we'd like to see in the region. I'd like to start with what we'd like to see in Queensburg, including more public skates for kids, new sports to try, like lacrosse and ringette, picnic tables outside, more welcoming staff, boxes with supplies for outside, like chalk, balls, skipping ropes, hopscotch, ball hockey tournaments, bikes to rent for the outside trail, after-school programs, somewhere for kids to hang out after school and not be criticized, and maybe more use of the community room. Also, some things we'd like to see in of the regions of Queens would be loose spaces for kids to play, like pots and pans and bed sheets. Also, more use of the outdoor nature trail. Liam would like to speak about a video game aspect.
So I know there is a big video game sort of thing that goes on in school because there are lots of people that like to play like video games and stuff. And maybe we could have a convention or something like that to cooperate that, to get more people to come to it. And if not like a gaming convention, maybe something that involves gaming, like art or something.
Also, Dominic would like to talk about after school at Queen's Place.
There's a lot of times where we like have siblings that go to hockey practices, and when we're waiting for an hour, we really have nowhere else to go. So something that we would like to see is a area where we can all go and sit and wait for them to get done, and there will be some things there to like we can make the time pass, like some comfortable chairs, maybe a TV in there, gaming console, which would also go with the video game idea. So,
thank you for giving us the opportunity to come today, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Excuse me, if you wouldn't mind, we have a few counselors that may like to ask you a few questions. Any counselors? Deputy Mayor McClure?
I think it's wonderful that you're here this morning, and we are listening to you, and I think it's very brave to come and sit in front of all of us here. I know it can be intimidating sometimes to do that, but I commend you on that very much. And I am listening, and I think your ideas are excellent. Some ideas are new to us, some ideas we've heard before, but I think you have a lot of really valid suggestions, and I know if we can work together, we can certainly accomplish quite a few of those. Thank you so much for coming.
Any other counselors? Councilor Fancy?
Yes, Liam, you had mentioned about the video games. So so there's quite a few people like to play video games, don't they?
Yeah.
And you think that there would be, you could have other people that would come in and you'd be able to do video game, even
competitions
and things?
Oh, yeah.
So you think that would be kind of cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then also, too, have those there for, is and I forget the other young fellow's name?
Dominic.
Dominic had said that it could be used then for times when you're waiting for someone else, right? So that could all be used in conjunction with each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
Any other counselors? Councilor Kelly?
Yeah, just wanted to say love all your ideas and a few new things, but stuff that we'd heard before, but sometimes it takes people to come to council and actually say them out loud to get people to actually listen to them, because I've heard the ones about things to do for the other kids and parents while their kids are on the ice for hockey practices and things like that, right? But the gaming one, yes, that would be a wonderful idea, and we should definitely do something about that, yeah.
Councilor Johnson?
I can see this wasn't an easy thing for you guys this morning, but you did a good job. I've got one question for you for other interests that I have. You ever find, like, if you're staying after school for programs, if transportation getting you home or getting you over to the AmeriCenter is an issue?
Mm. For some, yes.
Okay, so sometimes you can't do those things because there's no way to get you home afterwards.
Yeah.
Great, thank you.
Councilor Fisk?
I applaud you, young people, for coming to council today. You did an excellent job. Your presentation was excellent. And I'm sure that the Queen's Place will make allowances to accommodate some of your needs. And thank you very much again for coming.
Any other questions of council?
I just have
Council,
one.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Are any of you involved in any of the sports programs at the?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you in skating or? You're
hockey?
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. Wow, very good. Is there anything, given any thought to any of the fitness programs there for young people? I know a lot of us adults go to the fitness center. Is there any opportunities there that we could get some young people more involved in that? Any suggestions for using that part of the facility too?
That would be awesome if there was more fitness programs for us to do, yeah.
Okay. And we could come up with ideas of what you'd like to do and the resources, and also cost too. Sometimes cost is pretty high for a lot of people. So maybe we can look at something like that as well. Great.
And just to interject, the kids are so young that the age limit for the fitness center is 15.
Okay.
So these kids would be 10 to 12.
Okay.
So that would be an issue.
Yeah. But there could be individual
yep.
programs set up
yep.
for those. I mean, there's dance classes for
exactly.
young kids, all kinds of other programs that we
yep.
could do within the fitness room itself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for attending as part of Municipal Awareness Week, and we certainly appreciate your comments and suggestions, and we'll, as a council, we'll review what you have brought forward. Thank you very much for attending today.
Thank you,
Steve. Presentation today is by Robert Ross, and it's regarding Carter's Beach.
So how do I? morning, everyone. Mr. Mayor, members of council, municipal staff, and ladies and gentlemen. Carter's Beach challenges. In essence, what that means is the entire character of Carter's Beach changed dramatically during the summer of 2016. So that's the primary issue that I'd like to speak to today, and what options we have available to address those issues. The Region of Queens, they're bestowed with a number of incredible natural and recreational assets of rivers and lakes and ocean beach playgrounds. The question needs to be asked, however, is how we are protecting and preserving those natural assets. What are we doing about coastal area protection, sea level rise, climate change adaptation, environmental sensitive areas, water course mapping inventories, and issues such as tree cutting? How are we managing human interaction and land use management with these natural assets? The community of Port Mattoon and the larger Port Mattoon Bay community extending to White Point is a very active and engaged community. We have numerous volunteer organizations that provide the background to the backbone to the community. Friends of Port Mattoon Bay, Spectacle Light Society, Coastal Queens Place, West Queens Community Association, we have a local historical association, we conduct the annual Carter's Beach cleanup, and we even recently released the first edition of a community newsletter. Port Mattoon Bay is also part of a national study called the Oceans Canada Project, where there's universities across the country looking at the well-being of coastal communities and the oceans on the Pacific, Arctic, and Atlantic coast. And Port Mattoon is the case study community for that national study. Local residents, they additionally serve as the stewards and as the custodians and the eyes and ears of the area's most precious local asset, and that's Carter's Beach. And as I mentioned, during the summer of 2016, things changed dramatically. And that was primarily because of outside influences. As I got through this presentation, it's beneficial to be very mindful of the unique character that Carter's really is all about. And when I say Carter's, there's an adjacent second beach with the First Nations name of Wamakak, but I'll refer to the three beaches as Carter's. Carter's Beach is deemed to have one of the highest and one of the most extensive sand dune systems in all of Atlantic Canada. And if you look closely at this photo, and this is second beach, you can look beyond the sand beach and you can see that dune system. It's heavily vegetated there. If we were to go up there right now and look at that same second beach, that's not the case. So the current circumstances of Carter's Beach is that Carter's Beach Road in particular, there's about 23 residential homes on Carter's Beach. And of those 23 homes, about one third of them are seasonal homes. And over half of them are owned by what you could say people that have come from away over the past 15 years. The common value that we all have of living on Carter's Beach Road is that Carter's Beach itself has been the draw and the magnet to live there. That lure and that attraction of Carter's Beach, that's been tarnished over the past summer. Despite this, the local residents of Carter's Beach Road and from the larger Port Mattoon community were the ones that walk the beach on a daily basis, were the ones that pick up the garbage on a daily basis, were the ones who bag up the garbage that is left by the visitors to the beach during the summertime. We're also the ones that clean up the beach every year under the Great Canadian Shoreline Cleanup. In other words, we care about Carter's Beach and we try to take care of it. It's It's been over 3.5 years since the Provincial Department of Environment came to the community and let us know that the environmental attributes of Carter's Beach and Spectacle and Jackie Islands are, as well, they're such that it's slated to be designated as a provincial nature reserve. So under that designation, the natural features of the estuary, of the sand dunes, of the beach grasses and other vegetations and birds, they're to be protected. And that nature reserve was initially introduced to us. We recognized there was a trend of more beach visitors coming to Carter's Beach. We also recognized, and we informed both the municipality and the province at that time, if that was going to be the case of an increasing trend of more visitors to the beach, there was a real need to look at infrastructure needs. And the infrastructure needs extended to the parking, to the garbage pickup, to public health and safety and sanitation issues in the form of washrooms, to pedestrian trail access to the beach, and to environmental education signage to let people know how to treat the beach once they're there. The neighborhood community values were such that the beach could potentially both be protected environmentally and used as a recreational asset. We firmly believe that we could share the resource in that manner. But then the summer of 2016 unfolded, and no longer was it a situation that we had the high volume of visitors to the beach on the three long weekends of July the 1st, the August long weekend, and Labor Day. That was no longer the case. We were seeing daily traffic flows starting to come each day before 8 o'clock, and it continued into the evening. Traffic congestion, overflowing garbage cans, remnants of disgusting odor of outdoor bathroom use, and increased volumes of noise, they're all commonplace. Overnight beach camping and campfires, they're also routine. On some days, upwards of 200 cars parked on Carter's Beach, and if you do the math, even at two people per vehicle, that's 400, but the typical volume of visitors was likely more in the 500 range. So beyond this volume of visitors to the beach was the disrespect shown by some visitors, and I'll emphasize some visitors, so I don't want to paint all of the visitors to the beach in the same brush, but some visitors to the beach disrespected private property. How did they do that? There were incidents of bathroom use behind private property homes. Imagine that. And we witnessed this. There was incidents of baby diapers left in the front of people's homes in the ditches. I can take you to a property today that still has those diapers there. Who's going to pick them up? I'm not picking them up. The resident that owns the house in front, they're not picking them up. And there was even vulgar insults to local residents when some of the local residents said, hey, you know, don't park there. We were met with fingers and other vulgar language. So the inordinate number of daily visitors and users to Carter's Beach in that period, primarily from June to September last year, tipped the scale of what we deemed to be manageable, acceptable, and viable to the long-term integrity of the beach, to the Carter's Beach Road residential neighborhood, and to some extent to the larger Port Mattoon Bay community. Collectively, the experience of the summer of last year can be aptly described as being out of control. This was a typical scene after a hot summer day at Carter's Beach. By and large, the Department of Natural Resources, they were pretty good about coming and picking up the garbage, but they weren't able to do it on a daily basis, once or twice a week, maybe. Sometimes when they came, they weren't even able to get to the garbage, so they wouldn't go down because of the volume of cars parked on the street. So what happened with this daily mess of garbage? Well, local residents went down and they bagged it up. They bagged up the small bags of garbage. They took the large bag out of the container, walked the trail, tried to pick up the toilet tissue. basically we cleaned it up, and we did it almost on a daily basis. We did it because we have pride in our neighborhood. We also did this disgusting work because we want to present a good face to the visitors that did come to Carter's Beach. We were being tourism ambassadors in one sense. But we also did it because there was no responsible authority stepping up to the plate and performing the task on a consistent basis. Really, it's a very sad and unfair situation. The local residents were the ones left holding the bag to clean up after visitors that were coming to the beach. So what are the challenges of Carter's Beach? What the summer of 2016 really told the local residents is that the huge volume of daily visitors to Carter's Beach is not sustainable. This position is amplified with the lack of infrastructure at the beach and the lack of response to provide for any of that infrastructure in a comprehensive manner, and to enforce any form of parking control and the chaos of the parking on Carter's Beach Road. As a result, the local residents, we changed our long-standing position that the recreational use and environmental management could coexist. The tipping point for us changing our view on that was the annual Carter's Beach cleanup. And that was held in September of 2016. In addition to the cleanup of the usual litter that of beer bottles and fast food containers and grocery bags and baby diapers and other personal hygiene items, we did a thorough inspection of the beach dunes, of the dune system behind the beach areas. And that was undertaken by two marine scientists, two local seasonal residents, Dr. Ron Lopes and Ruth Smith. What they found was very disheartening. There were over 25 pedestrian trail breaches into and over the dunes. The breaches or pathways into the dune system, they represent risks to become blowouts during periods of high wave action and storm surges. In addition, the breaches clearly substantiated that Carter's cannot environmentally handle the high levels of daily visitors and traffic to the beach. In other words, the ecological integrity of the sand dune systems of Carter's Beach have been placed at risk. In addition to that, the residential quality of life for residents of Carter's Beach Road has been jeopardized. I've talked about the speeding cars, noise, garbage, outdoor toilet use, and loss of privacy and quiet enjoyment of residential homes. Imagine if the same circumstances had unfolded in another neighborhood within, say, Liverpool, say around the Fort Port Lighthouse. Imagine if the same type of scenario unfolded there. Carter's Beach Road residents, we've been very, very patient, and we've been very cooperative over the past few years as the increasing visitor use of Carter's Beach have accelerated. But our patience now is wearing very thin. As part of the Carter's Beach cleanup, as I mentioned, we had a pretty good look at the dune system. We also engaged someone by the name of Dr. Bob Taylor. He's retired. He's Atlantic Canada's leading geomorphology expert. So what that is someone that looks at shapes of the land. So he's an expert in dune assessment. He looked at varied photos that we had. So the top two photos from 2008, if you can look and pick up the detail, this is on Second Beach. It showed that, you know, by and large, it's a relatively intact dune system. There are some breaches at the far end of the Second Beach, and that was primarily because we had a lot of storm surges and hurricane action during the winter of 2007. The bottom two photos, 2 years later, show that the grass grasses and vegetation, they had grown on the toe of the slope of the dunes and basically solidified the dunes, and things improved. Another thing to make note of during the 2010 years was at a time when visitor numbers were starting to increase, but they were nowhere near what they are and have been in recent years. Dr. Taylor also looked at the photos from 2010 to what has happened in 2016. As mentioned, the top photo, 2010, shows a pretty intact dune system. But if you look at the bottom photo, and this is just one portion of the beach, this is the bottom photo shows basically the dune system being impacted by people sliding on the dunes, by people accessing the dunes to go to the bathroom, and some of the things that we found in the back of the dunes, clothing, personal hygiene items, blankets, there were a lot of hanky-panky stuff going on behind the dunes. So the bottom photo tells an erosion and eroding character of the dune system, and that's just one shot. As I mentioned, there are 25 breaches. The whole dune system has been placed at risk. So Dr. Taylor, in his assessment of the dunes, has made a number of recommendations, and I'll leave that with you if you have an interest. He recommends that the level of human activity on the beach system needs to be curtailed, and that the patterns of any future visitor experience at the beach needs to be more effectively managed. He recommends a soft approach of promoting enhanced sand deposition at select locations where the breaches to the dunes has occurred. Signage and yellow tape flagging are advised to be used as part of this approach. He also ended his review with giving us some considerations that we should look at. First, we should determine how many visitors to Carter's Beach the beach can sustain without incurring severe negative effects. The beach should be designated as a nature reserve, and that's the direction that we're headed in. Parking should be limited. A strict no parking approach on Carter's Beach Road should be enforced. And the installation of public use infrastructure facilities should be minimized. In other words, don't promote a whole bunch of people to go to Carter's Beach. So what are some of the management option considerations for Carter's Beach? Several years ago, the Department of Environment, as part of the Nature Reserve discussion, they came up with a carrying capacity number for Carter's Beach, and that capacity number was 93 people. When we asked the environment people what assumptions they used to come up with that number, they weren't able to give that to us, but that's a number that's out there, 93 people. Clearly, there's some level of the maximum number of visitors that Carter's Beach can environmentally handle. And when we talk about Carter's Beach, it's not just the sand and not the dunes, but it's the estuary, the grasses, the other vegetation, and the wildlife. This threshold of the feasible number of visitors that Carter's can sustain, it needs to be determined. We also need some sort of remedial attention to the dune damage that has been done. And we need to reestablish the integrity of the dunes. There's a further need to formulate a strategy to address the parking mayhem on Carter's Beach Road. While the municipality recently put in some additional parking, really what we're asking for is a comprehensive no parking edict along the entirety of Carter's Beach Road. Now, that falls back to both the municipality and through the RCMP to actually enforce it. Some people say that no parking on both sides of a provincial designated road is not allowed. Well, that may be, but the real world of Carter's Beach Road is that the roadside shoulder is at maximum 3 feet. And what that means, if people are going to park on the roadside shoulder, 5 feet of their car is going to be in the paved traveled portion of the road. And the road is not in good shape to begin with. With regard to the current parking supply, if you go down there and look at what has been provided by the municipality and what was there so far, ballpark, there's around 35 cars that could be parked there, if they park in a sequential and orderly fashion. 35 cars, three people a car, it's about 105 people. And that's getting in the ballpark of this carrying capacity that we talked about. So the amount of parking that's there, and no parking on Carter's Beach Road, can fit into that carrying capacity of the beach. So beyond the required attention that's needed to the sand dunes and to the Carter's Beach Road parking situation, we also have to wait for this management plan that the Department of Environment is going to bring forward with respect to the nature reserve. It's my understanding that the department is going to present this draft plan initially to council and then subsequently to the Port Mattoon community residents for comment. Acknowledging that the Carter's Beach situation has very challenges to address, we're further suggesting that the region consider formation of some sort of a working committee. The proposed committee may be comprised of appointed members of council, of municipal staff, of representatives of people from the RCMP and the emergency responders, perhaps staff from the Ministry of Environment, from Natural Resources, Highways, as well as Carter's Beach Road residents. The committee could meet on regular intervals during the next 6 month period and look at the varied challenges that are in front of us and try to address them before the summer season of 2017 unfolds. Have a close look at this photo. Does anybody really recognize that situation? It represents pretty much a typical day last summer at Carter's Beach. Can you understand why emergency responder volunteers and mission are very concerned how visitor traffic volumes are being managed or perhaps not managed at Carter's Beach? Can you understand the frustration of a few RCMP constables trying to curtail this situation? Let me say this. It's only going to take one incident of a child potentially near drowning, or perhaps someone taking a heart attack on Carter's Beach, and then the emergency responders not being able to get to that individual in, of need, and then them subsequently dying, that this whole situation is going to manifest itself, and it finally will get some attention. So what are some of the next steps, alternatives? Well, from our perspective, doing nothing is simply not an option. I've talked about the overflowing garbage. You've seen the picture of the parking. we've talked about the overall erosion of the dunes. And there's also the loss of quality of life and quiet enjoyment of property to the residents of Carter's Beach Road. To move forward in a coordinated manner, probably a first step that we need to do is we need to have a local community meeting. I don't attest to represent the views of everyone in Port Mattoon Bay. Certainly I represent the collective voice, but not the entirety of views. So we're suggesting that a community meeting may represent an excellent opportunity for this new council to take local governance to the local level. Have a council meeting in Port Mattoon. Go directly to the Port Mattoon community. And I encourage you to do this throughout the region.
take council members to Caledonia, meetings to Caledonia. You know, don't stay here all the time. Go out and let people really see how governance works. Go to the communities where issues affect them directly. So we need a community meeting to really flush this whole situation out a little bit further. The no parking on Carter's Beach Road approach, we need to do that because we need to really curtail the number and volumes of visitors to the beach. Attention to beach access from Burgess Road, that's another challenge. The RCMP and emergency responder people, they need to get together and look at the no parking approach and really discuss what is practical, what is achievable, and most importantly, what is the most effective process to enforce no parking. There also appears to be a further need to ponder how to get the message out to convey to the larger regional and provincial audience that Carter's Beach, in fact, is moving towards a nature reserve designation, and the whole concept of it being a recreational destination, that's no longer on the table. We also need, in our view, for the region to promote other beach locations, such as Somerville and Beach Meadows. They're the real recreation destination assets as far as beach locations. Public information signage is one way to do that. At locations within Port Mattoon itself, at the beginning of Carter's Beach Road, and at other locations. Newspaper and media stories, news releases, and other forms of public storytelling, it needs to be done as avenues to advise of the changing character of Carter's Beach. Local residents have been asked for installation of environmental education signage for Carter's Beach from the Department of Environment for years. In other words, when people come to the beach, there's really no signage there that tells them that the dunes are sensitive, that tells them they should pack in what they pack out, what they pack in. There's no information about bathroom use, none of that. So environmental education signage, that's really needed. The Nova Scotia Environmental Youth Corps represents another entity that we can tap into, and they can serve as daily custodians of the beach to educate visitors as they come. It's been said the popularity of Carter's Beach over the past summer really was promoted through social media, of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Well, it suggested there may be an opportunity for the young and talented staff of the Region of Queens to utilize their social media savvy to turn that whole strategy around and to put a message out there that Carter's Beach as a recreational destination is no longer on the table. It's really going to be a nature reserve, and the idea of coming in volumes of 500 people, that's no longer an option for Carter's, but we need to get that message out. So whatever avenues are pursued to address the very challenges of Carter's Beach, we need to work cooperatively with the Nova Scotia Department of Environment with regard to the pending designation of Nature Reserve for Carter's. But I would suggest when the province comes and presents that to the region, you really have to listen closely to what's in that management plan. And I think the biggest question that needs to be asked is whatever standards they're going to propose in their management plan for Carter's Beach, it's how are they going to be enforced? Because we as residents of Carter's Beach, we are not going to come to the table and assume that role of being the sole scapegoats to being the stewards and custodians. We've done that long enough. So the provinces, whatever presentation they give to you, ask the question, where's the teeth? So the big picture, we have no appetite for what unfolded during the summer of 2016 to be repeated again next year. Much of what we've talked about today has been about Carter's Beach being a sensitive marine environment.
and that's why it's headed for a nature reserve designation. We have learned that the extreme volume of visitors to Carthage during last summer has caused harm to the dunes and the adjacent wooded and dune areas. They're being used as a large outdoor bathroom. The need for more effective environmental management is apparent, even if this does entail a reduction in the number of visitors to Port Mattoon. Some may view that Carthage represents a huge tourism benefit to the region. This is only a perception without any supportive market research and economic development facts. And I'm not aware of any facts that say that Carthage is a huge tourism benefit to the community. Most beach visits, trips to Carthage, they're day trips. Most beach users bring their own food and they bring their own refreshments, and then they leave the garbage for local residents to deal with. So it's questioned how much economic benefit the users to Carthage actually generate. The real economic drivers to the local Port Mattoon economy are local residents, such as those living on Carthage Beach Road and the varied communities of Port Mattoon Bay. We are the ones who pay the taxes. We're the ones who buy local goods and services. We're the ones that frequent local restaurants. We're the ones who hire local tradespeople. We're the ones who support local Liverpool businesses and generate benefits to the local economy. So we're suggesting that it's incumbent upon the region of Queens to ensure that the local quality of life covers beach residents and that the rural sense of place in the larger Port Mattoon community is maintained, and that we're not perpetually transformed and diminished that character and sense of place by external factors and visitors each summer season. Carthage Beach is only one part of the tourism beach package for Queens County. Kedgy Adjunct National Park, Thomas Riddell Provincial Park, Port Jolly Beach, Somerville, White Point, Eagle Head, and Beach Meadows, they all offer a different tourism experience. Carthage Beach experience in the future is as a nature reserve. To lead us to more a sustainable direction, the community of Port Mattoon and the residents of Carthage Beach Road are asking for the region of Queens for your support and for your help. So in closing, I'd like to thank Richard for facilitating me coming today to present towards you, and for council for listening and for the opportunity to share this information with you. Now, there's been a lot of actionable items in the presentation that I've provided today. So there's a long list of things that we potentially could address. I guess the bottom line with it all is we've got an issue here and we've got challenges in front of us. And we don't want to see what unfolded last year at Carthage Beach to manifest itself in the same manner next year and in subsequent years. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Ross, for the very detailed report. Residents of Port Mattoon have been very understanding and forgiving during the past year, and that's very appreciated. The Carthage Beach file is very predominant on the minds of council in the region of Queens. And I would, at this time, ask council if they have questions for Mr. Ross. Yes, Councillor Fairley.
Just a couple questions for background. The garbage issue, and that's looked after by the Department of Natural Resources.
That's right.
And is that the one can that we see there?
That's the one can, and Brian, that one can was instigated by us. For the longest while, there wasn't even a can.
Okay. The parking is another issue. So, clearly, do you believe that preventing them from parking on both sides will solve the problem, or do you believe it will just, do you think it will manifest itself some other way, going in people's yards, finding back routes in? Is that what you believe the solution should be for the parking?
There's no single mechanism that's going to prevent people coming to Carter's Beach Road. That's why we have to take a multifaceted approach. And that's why there's the need of doing the media story, of doing the social media stuff, of really amplifying that Carter's Beach is headed towards a nature reserve. It's not a free-for-all anymore. When that provincial designation comes in place, you can bet that the management plan that the province comes forward with, they're not going to be toting it as a recreational area. So I think that the no parking etic is only going to be part of the solution, but certainly the road infrastructure as it is now can't support parking. If you measure the parking surface from one edge of the pavement to the other, 16 feet. The road can't even handle normal traffic. The road is in bad shape as it is. The only real attention beyond the recent little parking expansion that we had at the end of Carter's Beach Road is once a year we get the lines painted, as if we had a new brand new road or something. But certainly, Brian, the no parking on both sides of the road, in our view, is an absolute. It needs to be done, and you need to get the resources and the capability of the RCMP to enforce it. Because I'll wave the flag again. There's only going to take one incident of someone dying there, and then this situation will be thrust in the community's face to deal with it, toot sweet.
Second part of my question was, you know, we kind of, it was the perfect storm. We had good weather, you know, we had lots of media, lots of marketing, not from this building, but just in general social media. So it really became the focus point of a lot of people from Halifax and different areas. The washrooms we knew were concerned. You know, those didn't get in until the end of August. And, you know, that's, so everything that's on your list has kind of been created. Do you think by planning earlier in the season to accommodate 2017, while this is all happening, because you know this is not going to happen overnight, I just think there needs to be a really good plan in place to handle the 2017. I also feel like a lot of those are one-time visits that may not come back, because who wants to walk 2 miles to get to a beach, you know, through all of that, to have garbage and full washrooms, you know, overflowing. So maybe 2017 would be better. I certainly hear your concerns, but having a really good plan in place from the residents and the region would alleviate some of that 2017.
Yeah, no question. I mean, not everything's going to get done overnight, but we need to make a concerted effort on each and every one of those points as we move forward. And again, I'll go back to the provincial management plan for the nature reserve. Carter's Beach is not a recreational area. That's history. It's a nature reserve. It's got to be a provincial designation, and the notion will be to limit the number of people to the beach. So the region is going to have to be part of that party to enforce that. So whatever way that we get there, that's what's going to need to be done. I think that, you know, you really have to back up and question what we're doing about neighborhood quality of life and sense of place. My wife and I, last week we had dinner with seasonal residents that own probably the most expensive home on Carter's Beach Road. They're from Oakville, Ontario. They were blown away by the erosion of what they thought was a serene quality of life next to a beautiful beach. It's changed. Now they're questioning whether or not they even want to be there, because of what has transpired over the past summer. Local residents, they don't even want to go to the beach on those type of days. So, you know, it's not only in the environmental integrity of the beach itself, but it's the sense of place of the residential character of the neighborhood.
Any other councillors? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Thank you so much, Robert, for your information. Can we have a copy of that? Are we able to have some of that?
$10.
Will you take a check? seeing is believing, you know, and this summer, of course, with all the exposure of Carter's Beach through whatever source of media the word got out. I went down several times, especially on the weekends, and I just could not believe. I was disgusted when I saw the condition of the toilets that were placed there by us. And I was disgusted at the attitude of a lot of people being not courteous. I mean, this is what I saw that day when I was there. And I couldn't believe what's so attractive about? Is it the unknown? Is it because it's been promoted elsewhere? Because we didn't promote it at our tourist bureau. We didn't have it in our maps this year. The Tourist Information Center here, BIC, did not promote Carter's Beach. People came to them and said, where is it? But we didn't promote it, that I know of, to some degree. It was kind of put in the background. But I feel that something drastically has to be done, because we don't want it destroyed. We want it preserved. It's our backyard. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful area. But I like your comments about us promoting other beaches in our community. Mm-hmm. We don't do enough of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Beach Meadows Beach is in my district. It's a beautiful beach. It's certainly well designed for visitors. It has a playground. It has lots of parking. It's accessible, and it has beautiful scenery. I went down the other day, took some photos. It naturally cleans up itself over time. We had a clean up there this year as well. But you know, with nature, sometimes that happens on its own, and that really cleaned up beautifully. And I feel that we should start promoting Somerville Beach. I mean, my gosh, that is huge. It could accommodate so many people. It has whatever people need for amenities, whatever. And I think we should really start promoting the 5 or 6 other beautiful beaches in our community as well. And I like your suggestion about that.
Councilor Fancy?
Yes, Robert, I think what you're bringing to the forefront is way overdue. You know, we've been talking about this for 2 or 3 years, and summer last year was an exceptional summer with the dryness we had, and it seemed to bring the people out. And again, it's what the councillor or deputy mayor McLeod has said. You know, down in Beach Meadows, my wife goes down there all the time. There might be 10 cars or maybe 15 at the most. I actually am not a beach person, because I can't sit still long enough to stay on the beach. But you see it's a beautiful spot in other areas. There's something that's drawing there, and it's not through our promotional, but we need to be able to get the people to other beaches that we have. We have other beautiful beaches around which are made for this, that are set up for that way. You had mentioned that you could take in that parking area, you could put in about 35 cars, right? Mm-hmm. Now that 35 cars, if you save us 3 people, it'd be around 100, and, a little over 100 people, which then is a manageable doing, I guess. So with that, you say, okay, well, if we put no parking all along the roads and fine everybody, it's going to catch on. Mm-hmm. It won't take long to catch on to what you're doing. But could you maintain any more, like say, I don't know, maybe making this, I'm just talking, these are gonna have to go to groups and things, and I've mentioned this before, over maybe in Liverpool, the tourism, that you have a beach bus that could go out there that could take 10 or 20 people out, that you could be able to maintain under 200, but only have 100 that could be out there. I'm just saying, just as another thought, a way of keeping the vehicles down there, but maybe making it in, if you wanted to use tourism, as a way.
The only flag I would wave to that Councilor Fancy would be there is a definite carrying capacity of the beach.
Right.
And that carrying capacity from an environmental perspective seems to be in the ballpark of 100 people. So okay. The current parking allotment provides for that 100 people.
Okay.
So the notion of busing additional people there in the absence of enhanced infrastructure for washroom facilities, for garbage, et cetera, is still gonna potentially result in further environmental degradation of the dune system. So the carrying capacity from a nature reserve designation is key. And I think we have to respect that a nature reserve designation, what its intent is, and the primary intent there is to preserve the environmental integrity
of that area, and it's not from a tourism perspective. That's where we need to switch gears and tourism promote the other assets and the other beach areas that we have. Out of all that I've said here today, I think probably the most efficient recommendation that the council could pick up on is to form a working committee, a task force, if you will, and identify all those actionable items that need to be done on Carter's Beach, and use that working committee as the vehicle, as the medium, to make some progress towards achieving some of the objectives that we have to work towards. If we're just going to periodically talk about it at council every 2 weeks, nothing's really going to get done. You form a working committee and have the key people involved, the RCMP, provincial representative, the council appointees, the local residents, we can probably accomplish some tangible results before the summer of 2017 unfolds. So from my perspective, a working committee is an utmost requirement.
Any other councilors like to ask or comment? Thank you, Robert. Your presentation was very helpful, and as the region moves forward, I'm sure we'll be in contact.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Down to tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to be tabled today? Last call for petitions. Hearing none, we'll move on to the next public question and comment session. Please state your name and your address and attempt to limit your comments or questions to 5 minutes. Thank you. Leon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Leon Robertson, College Street, London School. Just a couple of things. First of all, I noticed looking at the bylaw enforcement officer's report, you hired a part-time bylaw enforcement officer to assist the present school time. And my question is this so many hours a day, is it going to be year-round or just at peak periods or what have you?
I would ask CEO Richard McClellan to respond.
So we put in a allowance in the budget this year for just a period of time. I believe it's about 4 months, but I can get back to you to confirm, and it's part time.
But it wouldn't be for the full year, sort of thing. It would be for a specific period of time.
Right.
Is that right?
Four
this is what
months.
I figured. Okay. The other item that I was going to mention is with respect to Carter's Beach, and we just heard the presentation there from Mr. Ross, which was a very good presentation. And I, in the package was the results of the Carter's Beach cleanup, and I can attest to what he would have found there, because being a member of the Qantas Club, along with our Key Club, we look after exit 19 here in Middleway, in the Liverpool cleanup twice a year, and the items that he's mentioned here, we find the same thing at exit 19, and no matter where you go, it seems like that people have these places where they like to leave their garbage. Looking at the photos there and so on, it looked as though that as far as the garbage down there is concerned, we had, it looked like just the one garbage receptacle. If we had all that many people down there, there should have been a lot more there, because the garbage was all piled around it, so obviously some people didn't take time to do that. And also with the porta potties, they got in there late, and maybe there wasn't enough of them, I don't know. But perhaps more if you're going to keep the area clean, perhaps that may help. Also, where it's going to be a possibly become a designated area down the road, or will. The other thing was, and I noticed in the paper, local paper yesterday, one of the residents, I believe, in that area mentioned that maybe another entrance rather than the road that is there now to go to Carter's Beach, and other residents coming off of the other highway, perhaps to Southwest Port Matoon, would be a possible solution. And I mentioned this before here a few months ago, down across from what is known as the Cranberry Hall, that there's a road that used to go down there, and it's probably there. I think it's all grown up now, down to the Wobbegong Beach. You know, whether that would be a possible alternative or not. But if it's going to become designated, then maybe it'd be wasting the time. But that might be something to look at. It would take the traffic off of the Carter's Beach Road. And so I just throw that out for information. But it's quite obvious that Mr. Ross has done his homework and done a very good job. And I would certainly suggest or recommend that council take a look at this situation and try to get something worked out. And the idea of a local committee be informed, and perhaps maybe with the council representative from the area for that district to be on that committee would be good for feedback to the council. And maybe we can get something going here. Thank you.
Thank you, Leon. As council and the region of Queens move forward on this file, we have already extended an invitation to Environment to meet with us, and we're in that process to source out what information may be helpful for a solution for Carter's Beach and the residents. So it is a moving file.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the public gallery? Thank you. We'll move on to a motion.